Very warm word of welcome to you as you come to the house of God on this harvest weekend. We're going to sing together the words of the Psalm 126. When Zion's bondage God turned back, as men that dreamed were we, then filled with laughter was our mouth, our tongue with melody. For today is the Psalm 87. Let's hear the word of God as we come in a moment or two to pray. This is a marvelous psalm, just seven verses, but it's a great psalm about Jerusalem. It speaks about the foundation of God is in the holy mountains. We know the whole earth belongs to the Lord, but He has a special place for Jerusalem, described here as the holy mountains. So God's foundation is in Jerusalem. And this was the center, we know, of his redemptive work. And we think of how Jerusalem, more than any other city, is associated with great things in the Bible. So let's hear the word of God. His foundation is in the holy mountains. The Lord loveth the gates of Zion more than all the dwellings of Jacob. Glorious things are spoken of thee, O city of God, Selah. I will make mention of Rahab and Babylon to them that know me. Behold, Philistia and Tyre with Ethiopia. This man was born there. And Zion, and of Zion it shall be said, this and that man was born in her, and the highest himself shall establish her. The Lord shall count when he writeth up the people that this man was born there, Selah. As well the singers as the players on instruments shall be there. All my springs are in thee. May the Lord help us to think upon these things as we pray. We do have a special prayer request for Dr. Stanley Barnes, who is in hospital. He's been in hospital for a few days, and he has been diagnosed with COVID, so do remember him very particularly at the throne of grace today. Let us all pray. Lord, we seek thee in the all-precious name of the Saviour. As we come into the house of God this day, we are a people that are anxious to worship thee, to get our gaze upon the Lord, to have the right focus as we come to this place of worship. And so we pray for the preparation of the heart that comes from God. We seek thee now for cleansing. We seek, Lord, for the proper frame of mind. We pray for the anointing of the Holy Spirit. We pray that he will come alongside and minister to us in every part of the service. Help us in this season of worship to lift our hearts to God, to focus upon him, to see him today, to hear from him. We think of the songs that will be sung. We think of the reading of the word, this psalm, and later on, as your servant comes to preach, bless the reading of your precious truth. We think of Rebecca as she ministers in song. We think of the preaching of the word, all these things that go to the making up of a service like this. We pray the blessing of God to be upon them all, and throughout, for the Lord to speak to us and minister to our hearts, taking the lines of Scripture, the truths that we sing, the preached word, and using them for your glory as they are applied to our hearts and our consciences. We would bring ourselves in a very particular way before the Lord, and we do cry from the heart, "Speak to me. Lord, open up your word to my heart this day." And we think of this psalm that reminds us of the reaping time. We think of the harvest, and our mouths are still filled with praise and adoration to God for his provision. And as we think of the temple, we always think of the spiritual. And you've given the harvest time and time again, the reaping time. We thank thee for all that have been gathered in unto Christ. We thank thee for those days when you have enabled us to go forth weeping, bearing the precious seed of the gospel. Because there is that doubtless promise from God that we will come again with rejoicing, bringing our sheaves with us. And as it is in the physical, so it is in the spiritual. And whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And so we praise thee as we look back over the course of our Christian lives for all the reaping times, for all those occasions when the word was sown into the hearts of men. And by, it took root, it germinated, it brought forth fruit unto the glory of God. We were reading this morning in the early season of prayer of the sower going to sow the seed and how the good ground brought forth that fruit, some hundredfold, some 60, some 30. Lord, make the work fruitful in these days, days that have been difficult in so many ways. But Lord, we pray that you will come and give the reaping time. Remember Dr. Barnes today. We do commit him in love to thee. You know his circumstances. We pray for him, for his recovery. Remember the Barnes family circle. We just commit all of them into your care now. May they be surrounded in your love and grace and mercy, and be very conscious of that. Remember all the sick connected to the congregation, so many on the prayer list, known to thee one by one. Lord, we commit them in love into your hands this day again. And so abide with us now. Let your presence be felt and known in Jesus' worthy and all precious name. Amen and amen. We are delighted to have Rebecca, who's going to minister in song, and we're going to try and play everything through the PowerPoint here today. So we are trusting a little bit to this technology. She says if it goes wrong, she'll just sit down. But Rebecca, we're glad to have you. Invite you to come now and minister. Thank you.
God, you are my God, and I will trust in you. Every promise is enough for every step.
Thank you, Rebecca, and I think we can all say amen to that. Our hearts are filled with thankfulness. We thank God for the harvest. We thank God for all that we have in Christ. We thank God for the gift of life. He has given to us the breath of life, and we're here today in God's house to enjoy life in the worship of God. Can I welcome you sincerely in the Lord's great name to the harvest service, this worship service today, and to those that are listening in on the internet. Tonight, the meetings continue at 7 o'clock. Dr. Ron Johnson will be here to preach the word, and the soloist is Kirsten McMullen from Mullaghlass. We're having a special Harvest Building Fund offering, and the project, as we've mentioned, is the church hall. So do remember that. I want to sincerely thank those who decorated the church and did it so well. We were rejoicing in that last night. So again, to Diane and to the team for coming in on Friday night, it was, and doing all that you did. Thank you in the Saviour's name. Tomorrow night is the Sunday School Teachers' Prayer Meeting at 8 o'clock. And Tuesday night is the Youth Challenge. The children's meetings are underway again. That's at 7. Tuesday night in Coleraine is the Sending Forth service for the Reverend and Mrs. Malcolm Patterson. And that's by invitation only. Wednesday, we're having a day of prayer. We want to invite all of God's people that are here. We want you to join us at least part of the day from 12 noon through to 12 midnight, a 12-hour prayer meeting. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. And as we have been emphasizing, an elder will be, pardon me, in charge of each hour. So at the beginning of the hour, we hope to sing a song, a hymn, and then take some prayer requests before we get down to prayer. Come as often as you can, and we want you to commit to the various times. The sheet is there on the table. Please put your name. If you know they are, that you'll be here, you don't have to put your name down, but we have been seeking to make sure that every hour is going to be sufficiently covered. And the main purpose of this prayer time is very simply to pray for our families, and we're all members of family, so let's be engaged with the Lord on Wednesday. Thursday night is the midweek at 8 o'clock as we come for the study of the scriptures and prayer and fellowship. We're doing a series, The Wonderful Ministry of the Holy Spirit, and we believe God's blessing has been upon that. And a wonderful sight that encouraged us last Thursday night was this. All right, so Phil, thank you for taking this photograph. It was taken in the little hallway coming in there, and the numbers who came to pray on Thursday night, we had the overspill out into the hallway. So it was tremendous just to look down and see so many that were gathered in the place of prayer. I think there were over 100 with us on Thursday night. So let's keep it up. Let's keep the spirit of prayer up as we look to the Lord in these days. The Youth Fellowship on Friday night at 8 o'clock, the special speaker is Mr. Chris Killen. And Chris is coming to speak on the subject of addiction. And we want all our young people to make a special effort to be there on Friday. Friday is also Missionary Council for the Missionary Council representatives of our churches. And that's at 8 o'clock in Ballymena Free Church. Saturday, we hope to recommence the open-air work in the centre of the town at 11 o'clock in the morning. So if some of you can set aside that time and come and stand with us as we make this public witness right here in our Jerusalem. Next Lord's Day, the prayer meeting is at 8 o'clock, the Sabbath school at 10:30, and the Bible class at 10:30 also. Mervyn is continuing with the subject, Revealing Christ in Genesis, as he takes up the overall subject, the things concerning himself. Worship service, 12 noon, we come to our meditations in Mark's Gospel, and then in the evening time, another one of the special testimonies, the special 70th anniversary testimonies, and that will be at 7 o'clock, not 12 noon, 7 o'clock, and the Reverend Larry Parr is the speaker, an ex-Roman Catholic. He's coming to testify and the Walter sisters from Lurgan will be singing. I want to thank you sincerely for your tithes and offerings received on Thursday night gifts for the poor children in India, Pakistan, and Romania. Do continue to remember the sick and the needy of the congregation. There they are, the names on the list. Don't let that pass you by just so quickly without thought. These are folks that need our prayerful intercessions. I have a what we're calling a COVID-19 announcement, and that is that the toilet facilities will be open from next week. So over the past while, for many, many months now, we have just had the use of the disabled toilet, but now we hope to open up the ladies and the gents as well from next Lord's Day. The creche facility can also be used now by two families. You'll be able to get in there, one at the back, one at the front, whatever the case might be. And that's from today, just to let you know. On Thursday night, we mentioned these letters that we're asking you to send to the Causeway Coast and Glens Council. So there's a consultation currently underway in the council to remove a Bible text that is situated on the seawall in Port Stewart. Well, we are very supportive that this will stay, that the Word of God will still be there. People should not take offence, but they choose to do that. And letters have been drafted so that you don't have too much work to do. Envelopes have also been addressed. And all you need to do is to take the sheet, put your address on it, sign it, put it into the envelope, put a stamp on it, and send it away. So they are available. We had about 100 of them on Thursday night, and they've all gone. And we're asking those who didn't get the opportunity to do that today, please take it and send it. Can I congratulate our sister Karen Hegarty, who I'm sure is somewhere. Is she here? No, not well. That's thinking about Wednesday, I think. If I was getting to her age, I'd be feeling the same way. But anyhow, she's celebrating a significant birthday on Wednesday. And Karen, if you're listening in, I apologize. I really do that from the very bottom of my heart. So this pallet has not arrived, but hopefully tomorrow or Tuesday, we have been told, will arrive safely in Timișoara. And those 600 pairs of shoes that were sent out, they are reaching the destination of these children every week now. So these are photographs that Emma sent us through. She went to the children there of a poor community in the school, and she's been busily engaged giving them out. And then our brother, Pastor Sabine, he went to get some groceries and things for the poor kids and was able to visit them and give out shoes as well. You may be able to see something here and here.
Wow! Ce frumos! Te bucuri?
Da! Asta frumos! Repede!
Repede!
So you hear that word, repede. Aaron, you'll be able to tell us exactly what that word means. Quickly! So we think of similar words in English that sound the same, and this wee girl really wants to get the shoes on. And as far as I know, because there was another video sent to me, she's stamping them on the ground. They must light up. You know those shoes that have lights in them? And she's so delighted to get these. Uganda has returned to worship. We want you to pray for the work there. Their churches were closed week by week for many, many months. And it's only last Lord's Day that permission has been given again by the government for churches to assemble. And as we think of the Pakistan school, on the 20th of this month, it'll be 1 year since we commenced that school, and we'll have a special day, God willing, with the children and be able to preach to them. And the Sunday school is doing this little project. So, children, you want to be engaged in getting a toothbrush and a good supply of toothpaste for these kids, you know what to do. Wesley was announcing this morning, and he was just indicating to the children, as I was standing at the back and Ryan was standing at the back and maybe one or two others, he says, children, there's a big plastic tube standing there, or it's not standing there, at the back, he said. And I don't know who he was referring to, but it was the plastic tube, and Ryan was able to point it out for the children. I had the opportunity to preach to Freya's Sunday School just last Wednesday, and we showed this slide on Thursday night, because what you see there as we spoke in heaven is, of course, John's Gospel, chapter 14, verse 2. But the top bit is in Urdu. I know Mr. Douglas is good at the Hebrew, but it reads the same way. He is there. So on the top right-hand side, you see the number 2, and then you begin to read their language this way, back to front as far as we're concerned. And these were the kids that we were able to talk to. And then they did something for me. So these children, they don't normally speak English. It's
Amen.
Urdu, but they're reciting the Old Testament books in English, which is quite an achievement as far as I can see it. If I was to go around our children here and say, can you recite the Old Testament books, maybe they would have difficulty. But these kids are learning that in Sunday school. We pray for Dipankar. Every week now, he's gathering this group of people together and ministering to them, preaching the word. And this morning we got some correspondence from the Reverend Ebenezer Nombre from the Philippines, and we're seeking to encourage this man in the Lord and his congregation. And he sent me this photograph this morning, and that was his young people just meeting there at the church today in the house of God. These are all the announcements, all that I need to show you. We're going to sing another hymn, 734, Sowing in the Morning, Sowing Seeds of Kindness, Sowing in the Noontide and the Dewy Eaves, Waiting for the Harvest and the Time of Reaping, We Shall Come Rejoicing, Bringing in the Sheaves.
Thank you.
Every year for many years now, we have had our brother, Dr. John Douglas, coming to minister at the Harvest Weekend, and we are delighted to welcome him again to Hebron. We look forward to his ministry, and brother, we pray that God will anoint you as you come to preach the word today. You're most welcome here. You can make yourself at home. Amen. Thank you.
Thank you. Let us all turn together to the Word of God. We're going to turn to the Epistle of Paul to the Galatians, Galatians chapter 6. It's a privilege to be here, to have the opportunity of bringing God's Word at this time. It's always encouraging to come and see our friends here in Ballymoney, many of you we've known all through these years. And we have sought mutual encouragement from the open page of God's precious Word. So it is. It's a privilege to read the Word of God, privilege to meditate upon it, a privilege certainly to speak in the Savior's name. I value your prayers. And we know that we need at all times to turn to the Lord for His presence to be made known. It's Galatians chapter 6, reading at verse 1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something, when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. What remarkable words you have there. There's another verse quite similar to it in Corinthians. But God's Word puts a man in his place. When you think of it, that's how you and I came to Christ those years ago. We just had to come as a poor sinner and nothing at all, finding our hope, our life, our peace, our joy, our salvation in Christ alone. So I put it to you that these words bring before us again the day of our conversion, our turning to the Lord, because you just had to come as a sinner and nothing at all. Humbling words, should a man be lifted up with pride. In this epistle, there's so much in it to show a ministry of care. You can't start to read from chapter 6, verse 1, without seeing that the Lord influences the Christian to show kindness and grace and thoughtfulness if a man be overtaken in a fault, and so on. We should endeavor to restore that person, to bear that person's burdens to some degree, verse 2, and then to see we ourselves are nothing. And surely if someone who's nothing comes to minister, he's obliged to say, Lord, you need to be my standby even at this time. However we minister, even if it's a word in private between you and your friend, you will seek a word from the Lord. Because we have to start from that square. That's square one for us. You start there with nothing. Verse 4, but let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. What precious words these are. Let's keep our Bibles open. You might like to put a marker in the place here for easy reference, should the Lord take us to another passage and we require to get back again to Galatians 6. We'll be able to do that with absolute ease if you have a marker in position. We need help from God just now. And with the open page of God's Word before us, let's ask the Lord for His presence in the preaching, for His blessing as the Word is brought to the attention of all in the congregation, and those who are within reach of the broadcast too. We need help from God, especially in these days of hardness and coldness everywhere. We pray for the breath of God upon the preaching of His name. Now let's unite together in prayer. Would you ask the Lord to speak to you? Ask the Lord for this preacher, that he might have help from heaven, that he might know unction from above, that he might have the experience of the infilling of the Holy Spirit. Oh, let us seek the Lord in this way. And then if you have an unconverted friend, you might say, Lord, speak to him, speak to her. Create that conviction of sin there in the heart. Bring the wandering one to the Savior. It's always a privilege to bring God's Word. And it's lovely to be here for your Harvest Thanksgiving service too, and to have the opportunity of worshiping with you. We'll ask for help from heaven. Our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for the opportunity given to worship, even in this country, for an open door, for the preaching of Thy name. Help us today. We need the breath of God. We need unction from on high. We need the infilling of Thy Holy Spirit. We ask Thee, Lord, to draw near and speak to everyone, and grant that there may be a turning to the Lord. Bless Thy people. We thank Thee for the praying people of God, for their encouragement, for their faithfulness. We pray that they may have help from heaven. They may have tokens for good these days. We think of some, Lord, who may not be as close to Thee as they used to be. We pray that if such be the case, worshiping among us here, if some man or woman or young person needs the restoring grace that we have read about, then we ask, Lord, come by Thy Holy Spirit again. Bring the wandering one back into the fellowship of the Savior. We pray for our friends who are out of Christ. Lord, we think about them. We think about them often. We pray that You'll touch their hearts. O Lord, minister in the power of Thy Spirit, and even today, speak a word, we pray. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like to turn your attention to some words there that we have been reading. Galatians chapter 6. Could we read again verses 7 and 8 and 9? It's so appropriate for today. In verse 7, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to his spirit shall of the spirit reap life everlasting. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Nearly everybody in this congregation will recognize the words we have been reading, because you've been familiar with them over a very long time. I wouldn't be surprised, indeed, if there are some in our gathering able to say, I think I know these verses off by heart. And while I congratulate you that you know the Word of God so well, yet it's essential for us to think that these words need to make an impact on us. They need to change our way of living. A man who can say, yes, I not only know these words, but these words, along with others in Holy Scripture, they have been used of God to shape and change and bless my soul over the course of many years. Oh, how important it is if you can say these words and other words in the Bible have been the means of changing my life. They've influenced my conduct. They've helped me in many, many issues over the years of time. For the Word of God, you see, great and good as it is, must bear fruit in the life of the Christian. Perhaps we can summarize those verses there, 7, 8, and 9. If you would look at them again in verse 7, you can see the law of the harvest. There's a law in operation, instituted by God. And even the laws of the natural world exhibit the lesson, teaches day by day the theme of the harvest. Because the sowing out there in the field, the sowing is always followed by the reaping. And then for us, for mankind, the Scripture teaches here ever so plainly, whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap, whether for good or ill. That's the law of the harvest. A law unchangeably set into life with all its values. And everybody here needs to say, why, the law of the harvest for good or ill will be made manifest in my life, in sowing and reaping. And that's where the apostle is in verse 8, because two different lifestyles are set out there. Namely, one class of men sowing to the flesh, the other class sowing to the spirit. If we sow to the flesh, the Scripture tells us, we shall of the flesh reap corruption. You can't reap any other kind of harvest. For example, the ungodly man out there in the street is living every day sowing to the flesh, day in and day out. He's sowing to the flesh. He thinks he may reap a harvest of joy, a harvest of delight, but in no way is that possible. He will reap a harvest of woe, a harvest of shame. They that sow to the flesh, the Scripture plainly says, will reap corruption. But the child of God, he's sowing to the Spirit, and he has a blessed harvest to anticipate, because he shall, from the Spirit, reap life everlasting. So there's verse 7, the law of the harvest, set into life itself unchangeably. And the description of that law in verse 8, or the application of it, we're either sowing to the flesh or sowing to the Spirit. The backslider, for example, who has allowed himself to get away from God absolutely, may have abandoned those holy principles God has given to him in his precious word. And he may say, oh, I'm saved anyway. It doesn't really matter how I live. I know I'm a backslider. I know I'm not living as close to God as I used to now. But I'm saved, you see. And therefore, he may reason, I will not reap the terrible harvest of sin and shame. You're making a big mistake. Because irrespective of whether you're saved or lost, you will reap exactly as you sow. If you're sowing to the flesh, you're going to reap a sad and shameful harvest. If you're sowing to the Spirit, you will reap glory to God. You're going to reap life everlasting. That's a precious thing. And verse 9 comes in with the application too, in terms of your work. You may get weary in the work, but not weary of it. But God gives you wonderful encouragement in that verse 9. When, if we're not weary in well-doing, in due season, God's good time, you're going to reap if you faint not. Let me say a word of encouragement here to Sunday school teacher, children's worker, and others in different departments of the Lord's work. If at times you do become discouraged, here's the Lord saying, bringing these words of cheer, here's the Lord saying that in due season we shall reap. Oh, bear witness to the certainty of it. It doesn't say here we have hopes of reaping, does it? It doesn't say perhaps we'll reap, or in the best of circumstances, maybe we shall have a wonderful day of reaping. Oh, no, it's much, much better than that. We shall reap. God's good guarantee is put upon this promise. I would say this is one of the most cheering verses in the Bible for the Christian worker who has become wearied in his labors. And sometimes that's due to old age and infirmity, because there's one lesson you have to learn when you get a bit older, that you don't have the energies of youth. You could do all sorts of things in those early days. And, well, we did get tired, but you could be excused for saying, couldn't you? Oh, we never knew what tiredness was. You just shake yourself and go on. But it's a different thing when the years are there. I'm afraid that's a lesson we have to learn the hard way too. But just the same, if that weariness comes, and you're laboring for the Lord, you're about a good business, and God cheers us today, whatever we have to say by way of woe connected to infirmity or anything else, praise the Lord. God's promise is still here in the book, that if we're not weary in well-doing, that due season, God's own good time will come around and we shall reap. I dare say that in that great day of accounting, many of God's people are going to be surprised, for the Lord delights in surprising his people to see what the Lord has prepared in store for him. But then, there's another verse. There's another verse. You might say, what do you mean, another verse? There's another verse that is to be written into this sequence. I don't want you to miss it. I'm making reference to verse 10, if you look at it. Because quite often, in grouping together these verses, we do take 7, 8, and 9 and tend to stop there. And that's a mistake, because verse 10 belongs to this collection of verses concerning the harvest. And what does verse 10 tell us? As we have therefore opportunity. You see the word therefore? If you have a pen and you'd like to mark your Bible, I suggest you just take your pen and run it underneath that word, therefore. Because of what God has been teaching concerning the harvest, that in all our labors, even if according to the flesh we grow weary at times, we suffer from infirmity, but nevertheless, the Lord opens a door of opportunity for the believer, often in unexpected circumstances. And that word, therefore, does the job, I trust, of linking in verse 10 with verse 9, and even the foregoing verses for that matter. In due season we shall reap if we faint not, because, men and women, brethren and sisters in Christ, because we have the expectation, the sure expectation of a glorious harvest, God calls us now ever so plainly to look for every opportunity, to use every opportunity to do that which is well-pleasing in His sight. As we have, therefore, it's not a thing to be questioned. There is an opportunity given to the believer. And if you didn't have one plainly observable to you, you can certainly ask. And let's just start at square one. We should ask the Lord for opportunities. How about you? As we have, therefore, opportunity, let us do good. Let us do the right thing in accordance with what the Lord requires. Let us do the right thing as we have, therefore, opportunity. Who is to use this opportunity? Number one, that man who's lost in sin without a Savior should take the opportunity God gives him to seek the Lord while he may be found and call upon him while he is near. It would be a terrible thing if you're found today unconverted in the house of God, brought up perhaps in one of the families of the congregation, and you've been so faithful through these years. You might say with a smile, "Oh, I have a very good record for attendance. I commend you for that." But do you know the Lord? Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? If your life was to be terminated this very day, what about your soul? Would you lament wasted opportunities? You sat in the Sunday school class. You attended the children's meeting. You've heard the word preached from this pulpit Lord's Day after Lord's Day. You were sitting in the house of God when other people turned to Christ. You were here in gospel meetings when souls were saved, and somehow you still got up from your place and went out through that door there without Christ. You didn't take the opportunity. Here in this Bible, I call to mind verses which range from Psalm 95 through to Hebrews chapters 3 and 4, where the Lord is saying, today if you hear my voice, harden not your heart. Think of that. In the Psalms, God is saying that, today if you hear my voice, harden not your heart. Today is the day of opportunity. In Hebrews 3, in Hebrews chapter 4 as well, three times in all, God is saying, today, if you hear my voice, harden not your heart. Or to turn those words around and give them a different application, perhaps. It's today, if you hear my voice, use the opportunity. It's Hebrews, and I'm going to refer to it. I know the words well, but I like to have them in front of my very eyes. Hebrews 2 and 1, which is a good backcloth for the words I've been quoting. And the words are Hebrews 2 and 1, therefore. That's that little word, therefore, once more, remember? We got it in Galatians 6. We got it in verse 10, as we have therefore opportunity. God, listen, I know you've listened ever so well, so I'm not questioning that. But what I mean is, could you now listen with much more attention than usually you give, and your attention level, I would say, is excellent. But let us even come that much closer to the Lord in this regard. It was Galatians 6 and 10, which said, as we have therefore opportunity. It's Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1, which says, therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed, because the opportunity tends to vanish and slip away. We ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard. We have heard the precious word of Christ. We have heard the riches of God's grace freely expounded in this house. As we have therefore listened to the word, let us give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. What a warning that is. And here is the Lord saying, on the one hand, today, if you hear my voice, today is a day of opportunity. God puts that opportunity in your path. God has given you the opportunity to turn to Christ. I'd love to talk to you personally so we could just see how many years you've sat under the sound of God's word. Some of you possibly could be here today saying, I've attended congregation 20 years off and on. I haven't come to know the Lord yet. We're warned in the plainest terms to give the more earnest heed. That's the right way to put it. You have given some heed. You've given some attention. Otherwise, you wouldn't have come. You believe in the book. But you're letting the opportunity slip away. You might find one day to your cost eternally. You've let that opportunity slip away forever. Today is the day of opportunity. It would be a thrill, a joy, to know that you've come to trust Christ today. God gives you the opportunity. That's what you must think about. And perhaps you've overlooked that all-important point. And you may say, oh, well, I have the opportunity to come. But you only have that opportunity as God gives it to you. You have the health and strength to sit under the sound of God's word. Isn't that right? You have a Bible in your hands, you're still able to read it, you're still able to understand it, you're still able in listening to pay attention to the word, and you have. But you have just let the opportunity slip away, Lord's Day after Lord's Day. And I fear you may perish in your sin altogether. It would be dreadful if attending so well at the house of God and listening so well to the message, but still you never came to respond to that word. As we have therefore opportunity, that's the vital lesson in Galatians 6 and 10. What about the Christian? The child of God has the opportunity. Are we using a God-given opportunity? I would suppose we should start off in regard to the Christian to say it's so important for you as a member or an associate of this church that you pull your weight. Ever so many here are extremely faithful in that regard. We could nearly just start listing folks here in the congregation. You're a lesson in faithfulness. But somebody else, perhaps, would have to say, I haven't been pulling my weight. I haven't been at the prayer meeting. Or it may be, in regard to God's Word, you've neglected to get down to real serious study of the Word of God. There are lots of ways. Take an interest in the young people's work, the children's work, or it may be in missionary endeavor. Oh, God speaks to us in different ways. And the child of God must not let the opportunity slip away either. There's another verse in Hebrews, and it bears thought as well because of its relationship to what I've been saying in Hebrews chapter 4. Let us therefore fear. Again, we notice that word therefore. Isn't that remarkable? That in each of these verses where we have such application given, we have God putting in therefore. Let us therefore fear lest a promise being left us of entering in to his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it, because unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. Talking about people in Old Testament times. They heard the gospel too. But for many, the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. So if the heart response wasn't there, the word preached, let it be preached so powerfully, let it be preached so faithfully, let it be preached so effectively. The word preached just did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. They didn't use the opportunity that God gave. There's an opportunity that comes your way. It must be dreadful to think of entering into heaven and you have to face in that hour when the books are opened. There's a day of accounting for the believer also. It'd be a terrible thing if it was just a matter of wood, hay, and stubble brought in for the harvest, and the fire trying every man's work, and the wood, hay, and stubble would not do well under the fire. In fact, the Bible describes that person there, wood, hay, and stubble burned up, as being saved, yet as by fire. That's like saying, saved by the skin of your teeth. All the opportunities burned up, all the opportunities lost. As we have therefore opportunity. My question is, what is the Lord giving you as a Christian opportunity to do? Perhaps to put your shoulder to the wheel with more earnest endeavor than before. I wouldn't doubt either that somewhere in this congregation there's a child of God, and God has been speaking to you about the time that you should be giving to the Scriptures. Spend a little more time alone with God. Perhaps it's the outreach ministry. But God gives us opportunity. And our verse today is saying, as we have therefore opportunity, God surely requires us to use that opportunity. I think of Lot down in Sodom. I'm going to turn up the place too, although I know the paragraph quite well. But the angels, the two angels came to Lot's home in the dark as evening fell in Sodom. And the men said unto Lot at a given time, this was a message from the Lord, remember. The men said unto Lot, we have come to destroy this place. Sodom is doomed. And have ye any here besides son-in-law or sons or daughters, whatsoever thou hast in the city, bring them out of this place. For we will destroy this place, because the cry of them is waxen great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord has sent us to destroy it. This is Sodom's last night. Lot, you're to get the message. Oh, poor Lot, we might say. Backslidden. Hopelessly backslidden. Way out of the will of God. This man who was so interested in the world, as far as I can see, just forgot about God. Left the Lord out of his life. Hung on to the world for all he was worth. And now, in this moment of time, as the angels of heaven speak to him so solemnly and searchingly, saying, have you any family here? What about your son or sons-in-law? Get them out of this place, for the Lord has sent us to destroy it. We're living now in Sodom's last hours. It must have been a dreadful shock. It must have been hard for Lot to take it in. Or maybe the man, the guilty man, knew all along. We can't go on with this forever. The judgment of God is bound to come. Sometimes we think about that in relation to this country. How long can we go on without judgment falling, without God's wrath being visited on this nation? Maybe deep down in that wretched man's heart there was the thought all along, this can't go on. The day of accounting is coming. And now it's come. And Lot sets about warning his family. And you know the account well, for you've read it before. And I remind you of it. How in the darkness, I would suppose, I've got to use my imagination here, I would suppose it's well past midnight. And even Sodom, with his wild activities, is hushed in the darkness. And there is Lot, hurrying for all he's worth through the streets. He knows the way well, where his daughters are living, their husbands too, their families. And can I see him banging on the door with all his might? He must arouse the sleeping inhabitants of the home, and he must bang on that door to get their attention. Or maybe even he's knocking on the windows. I don't know what he's doing. I couldn't see him as a troubled father going to that home without calling their names in the middle of the night. I'll just use an ordinary local name. They would have had names, Middle Eastern in their origin, that we're not aware of. So let me just use the name. Jack, John, David, come. God has given me this sobering and a terrible message. Sodom is doomed, don't you see? And you need to come. Get the family out of here at once. We have so little time. Up, he said. Up, up. Get up now. Get you out of this place. For the Lord will destroy this city. And then the scripture says, ever so sad it is. Lot's message had no effect. It just went in one ear and out the other. He seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. Lot, the guilty backslider, that man who was content to live way out of the will of God altogether, now he gets concerned. But you see, the opportunity's gone. The door has shut. The fire of God fell in that place exactly as the Bible said. Opportunity is a precious thing. When the Lord gives you an opportunity to do something for the Savior, it's a precious thing. It's a privilege, but it can be neglected. In fact, perhaps you would say it can be taken for granted. We imagine foolishly we can always do these things. If we come to church, we think, mind you, we know well the facts of life, but we allow ourselves to be deluded into thinking, oh, we can come next Sunday. And we can come by Christmas time as well. We imagine opportunity just lingers on and on forever. But that opportunity only comes at a time. You're only young once. You have those early years to give to the Lord as a precious gift. And then when you're older, you still have an opportunity. You have a wonderful opportunity. You have a blessed opportunity to speak in the Savior's name. I don't know what opportunity the Lord would have you use. Maybe it's somebody you've known well for years, can't come any longer to church. Couldn't you get a card? Just a simple card and write a verse yourself from the Psalms. I would suggest you could write it anywhere from the Bible. But Psalms seems such a lovely book, so appropriate for people who are shut in. You might like to copy out a verse yourself. You'll say to me, oh, but there's a verse on the card already. Well, that's good. But allow me to suggest this. Nothing beats your handwriting. It might be hard to make it out at times, but it tells when that person who's known to you personally, you might address them. Dear Elizabeth, it could be Sarah, could be any name, could be a man for that matter. And you just say, thinking of you today, and then you could write that verse yourself from the Psalms. Just say, don't give a sermon, just sign your name. I'm explaining something exceedingly simple, absolutely simple. Something that you might say is nothing. But we should all start to do something for the Lord, because when I look over this congregation, every soul here, especially those who know the Lord, think of this. Everybody here has an opportunity. You have an opportunity to do something for the Lord, however small. Let's start small, even. You have an opportunity to do something for the Lord today. Wouldn't it be a great thing if you could say, Lord, here's my life. I want to consecrate my life afresh. That would be a grand thing, a grand way to celebrate this harvest that God has given. Some of you, you'd have to say, I'm not as young as you used to be. And you're not alone in that matter. But can we look around in our lives? Can we say, Lord, you've still let me live. You've let me come here. You've let me come to church today. You've given me an opportunity. I know some folk you can say, and I personally can say this to you. I know some who are in hospital today, not at all well. But comparatively speaking, I'm in the best of health. Can't I do something for the Lord? Why did the Lord suffer for me? Why did he die for me on the cross of shame? That I might live for him here. It's not just the Lord's will for you. It's great to have you come to the house of God, but the Lord has more in store for you than that. Years ago, in my congregation in Lisburn, I could tell you a lot more about her. She was a grand old lady, really most remarkable, set in her ways, and we could smile if I were to tell you about some of her set ways. There's going to be no change. Oh, how she loved the Lord. She was wrecked with pain. Such were her sufferings, that although she had a very warm smile, and that smile was regularly there when we went to visit. She was an inspiration, really, still is, although she's gone to glory. I remember her as vividly as if it were last week I visited her. She was just inspiring. But terrific pain. And that must have been continuous. I couldn't say for sure, but I guess it was, for she never talked, she never wanted to talk about her pains. And I would say to her, calling her by her name, "Are you suffering much?" And she would play it down. But you see, on her face, although, yes, the smile was there, and that was a natural smile, and it seemed was always there. Lovely to get a word from her. She's so dear to the Lord. And I could see the lines of agony etched into her face. You couldn't look at her without seeing all those many lines that pain, great pain, had drawn upon her countenance. And when at last she was taken to hospital, it was her final sickness up in Dundonald. I think of it yet. I didn't have long because of her condition. I just wanted to make every minute count. And calling her by her name, I felt perhaps it was good to say, "What about the pain?" I used her name. "Oh," she says, no, I wouldn't think to talk about that." But I knew to look at her. The pain was enormous. And I pressed her on that point because I wanted to have guidance in prayer. And she said, "When I think," she said, "of his pain and all that he suffered for me, my pain is just nothing to talk about. What could I say after that?" Those words were imprinted in my heart. They're still there today, these many years after. Why should I think about my pain? And I consider all that he suffered for me. And she'd use the word "sure" when she wanted to put emphasis into her statements. And she said, "Sure, we need to think of what he accomplished on the cross for us." She was a witness for the Savior. As we have therefore opportunity, and men, women, opportunities just slip away, and before we know, the trumpet will sound, the Savior will come. We shall rise to meet him in the air, and the day of opportunity is over. Don't you think today, because of his pain, his sufferings for you, you can seek an opportunity now? Mind you, our words are frail. The Lord has to take them up. Our words are as nothing. The Lord has to take them up and use them. And he can use every one of his people. He has saved you for a purpose. As we have therefore opportunity, let's do something for the Lord. Mr. Park is going to come and close the service.
That's a prayer. Our Father, you've spoken to us today. We thank you that we have health and strength, and we have opportunity to do so many things. And even for those who are less able, there's still opportunity to do some things. We pray that you'll work in our hearts that which is pleasing in your sight, and stir us up to do something for the Lord, to labor for him who has done so much for us. Let the word of the Lord linger on. May we not be those who forget so easily. We want to be not just the hearer, but the doer of the word. And so send us from this place to serve the living God. If any has stepped out of the way, Lord, speak to them. Maybe there's a lot here, giving themselves over to the world and found in a backslidden condition, Lord, draw them back. Draw them back before they would lose the opportunity to be a witness, a proper witness to their family. And for any who are not saved, Lord, may this be the opportune time for them to seek the Lord, for now is the day of salvation. Hear this, our prayer, for Jesus' sake. Amen. And we'll sing one verse of the closing hymn. I have only one life on this earth, and as vapor is passing away, I must labor for treasures of worth ere toil ends at the close of the day. Do you know the verse? Everybody know it? Only one life. We know it sufficiently for... We've got a technical problem here. So we know it enough to sing it. I want to sing it before we leave the house of God. Receive that well done on the great day. And as we've often said, we'll never get the well done unless we do well. Help us by your grace to live the Christian life, to have a good testimony, and to do well for God. Burn your word into our hearts now as we leave. Help us to think about it through the afternoon. And bring us again to the house of God for the final harvest service. And rain righteousness upon us in these days. For Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen.